Yes, it's time for the Morning Edge here on WWPR at 1490 AM. We're Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 AM, 10 AM. I'm Henry Reyes. Here's Augie. We're not going to push through all this again. This is my last day on the air here. Suddenly came up, and let me get to what I want to say, because Augie said it twice now, and I don't think it's going to be appreciated as much the third time. I got to be part of WWPR and then on to other venues back in 2003 with the Bud Beck Show. But of all the thank yous that I need to give, I most want to give it to Augie, because at a time when probably everyone else had counted me out, and there certainly was no demand for me to be in this station, Augie fought to get me back on the air a little over 2 years ago. And it made a huge difference in my life. It made a huge difference to have his faith in me. It made a huge difference to have something positive happen at that time in my life. And although even I was only off about 2 or 3 months, at that time I didn't see any sign of me coming back to something that had been part of my life for 10 years. But Augie made it happen. And even more than what he made happen on the radio, I've cherished the friendship he's offered and encouragement off the air over the last 2 years. So that being said,
well,
thank you, Augie.
Well, thank you, Henry. That surprised me. Yeah, Henry's voice and ideas and thoughts and creativity have made this show come alive on the internet, and the podcasts have been followed, and we've had some pretty good rankings over the time, and all things considered, the show has done rather well, and I've had people tell me it wows them at times when they can pick it up in the long distance that it promises. Its footprint goes from Clearwater down to Venice, and then sometimes people actually know the foot's there. But nonetheless, we do have something to say, and then part of the voice that we've been providing here is now at least temporarily missing, or will be missing.
Well, what's old is new again, though. We have a stalwart of WWPR ready to, you know, one man down, next man up.
And, that's right. Floyd Winters will be coming in on Wednesday and trying to fill the shoes of Henry. I've worked with Floyd in the past, and I'd rather have someone here with me to have the conversation. When the Morning Edge began, I began with just me reading and talking and taking calls with the station manager, Valerie, helping out greatly. But I felt I needed the conversation in the studio with somebody with good experience and ideas and so forth beyond myself. And Henry stepped forward and was willing to do that, and I'm very eternally grateful for that. So this has been a pleasure for me. My time in life is what it is, and it's been a great thing. And Jim Delgado has stepped forward and supported the show in the past. I hope he will continue to do so. The support we've received is continuing as well.
Well, I had planned on doing most of the thank yous at the end of the show, but seeing who knows how this recording situation is going to go, would like to get this on the air. And plus, for longtime listeners, I think they're going to hear a lot of names that they may have temporarily forgotten, but they'll remember fondly. And first off, of course, is Jim Delgado, who for over a decade has supported me on the air, both as a sponsor, as a co-host, as an incredible friend. And I have to, right after Augie, thank him and Callens and Little, Melton Little, and Scott Callens for their support also. I most want to thank the late Glenn Boniker and his wife Marge. Those of you that knew Glenn way back in 2003, I know Augie did. Founding member of what I guess is now called the Southwest Coalition for Peace and Justice, Southwest Florida Coalition for Peace and Justice.
Right, that's right.
Glenn and Lorraine Herrera started the Gulf Coast Coalition for Peace and Justice in 2003, held the first anti-Iraq war rally in October of 2012. But what is particularly special to me is when Bob Nolan, who had a talk show here for a while, offered people to fill in for him on a vacation. I took him up on the offer, did my first show, and Glenn Boniker, who was a veteran of Tampa Bay radio and beyond, who actually has the highest rated station manager of any rating in the history of Tampa Bay on a July 4th weekend in the 80s, got a 40 rating, which I thought was a 40 share. Share is a percentage of the people listening. A rating is all the potential people listening.
Oh, wow.
So one weekend in Tampa Bay, his station had a 40% of all the people in Tampa Bay that could have listened to his station did listen to his station.
Wow.
Those days are long gone for radio. But he called me up. I had never spoken to him before. He looked me up in what we then, back in the day, used to call a telephone book, and said, you know, you should really be doing this. And it's not easy what I just heard. Maybe it wasn't easy to listen to, but I think you could do something with this. I had
I remember the time when you stepped in with Glenn Beck and how you
transitioned. Bud Beck.
Or, excuse me, Glenn Beck. I beg your pardon. Now, that could be a mistake of intent, but it really was a mistake. But Bud Beck was an interesting character, and this is at the time of Boddicker as well. Go ahead on this.
Well, yes. And so, but anyway, throughout the years, he and his wife were so supportive, just in so many ways, to my family and the radio. And he is sorely missed. He was one of the founding lights of WSLR 96.5 community station down in Sarasota, and he should always be remembered. They say you're never dead as long as someone remembers you, and I'm certainly never going to forget Glenn Boddicker. Bud Beck, you mentioned, and you know, rather than be all about me, that was a key moment in WWPR history. WWPR, of course, is the longest running radio station in Manatee County and this region of Florida. It goes back well over 50 years. And so Augie, myself, all the people that mentioned are just a part of the chain here that has been the voice of this community for so long and will continue to be that way. But Augie, Bud Beck, of course, decided he was going to be the liberal Rush Limbaugh and moved into Catherine Harris's district at the time to be a voice and a pain in her side. He was here about a year. It was right in the beginning that I joined him first as a caller, like so many people here at the station, and then started doing some of his promotions. At the same time, there was the promotions. There was also the anti-war activism, anti-Iraq war activism that coincided. And then very shortly, I became executive producer of that show, and I got a lot of airtime, too. But that also brings us to Augie, because Augie was one of the early callers in the Bud Beck show. So his seeds for WWPR were planted way back then, too. And one other voice before we diverge into maybe some other conversations and other people that I definitely was at the top of my list, and I hope that everybody is keeping his family and him in their prayers and meditations and best wishes, is Rick on the Radio, who was originally a caller at WWPR and went on to create some great radio here. And we just hope that everything works out the best for he and his family, as best as can be expected. And I have other people, but I know Augie has probably, just from those names, has things to talk about.
Well, Bud wrote his own book. What was the title of the book?
Oh, he had at least three books. There was one that was sort of a docu-murder mystery. It was a factual book based on a psychic's investigation of a murder up in the Pennsylvania area. He's wrote a history of Indian chief that was up in that general area, too. He wrote The Last Terrorist, or The First Terrorist Act, I believe, was a book that used to be promoted on the show, and I believe he's back up teaching in that same general area of Pennsylvania. He was only on the air a year, but his year was
an impact.
Spawned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would, if you're on the radio, you better be thanking the owners.
Yeah.
And Ray Green was the owner at that time. Made it possible for me to come on. Made some special arrangements to allow me to prosper and to get on the air. Then, of course, Valerie Silver and her brother Daniel took over the station for, gosh, I think they've been here about 30 or 40 years at this point. It must feel like it to them.
It's got to be a grind, yeah.
Yeah, and they've kept this voice open for the people of the area and all the different diversity that's on this station. Bruce Maduri of Genesis Communications in Tampa and the program director, Joe Silva, and Dan Casey, my first producer, who after 5 years of doing American AM and Drive Time here on this station, I got an opportunity to go up to the 50,000-watt station in Tampa on the weekends for a couple of years. And so, again, I don't want to just do a monologue here.
You might as well, because your voice is going to be off for a little while, but maybe your efforts won't be.
Well, this is appropriate for Augie, my next grouping here, because besides Jim Delgado, who co-hosted many different aspects of the show, I once said to Augie very recently, because we have a new marriage here at WWPR, a new radio marriage, if you will. Mitch Mallett and Terry Wonder are the latest radio spouses, if you will. And they're following Augie, our same-sex radio marriage here. I said, Augie, we're at our 2-year anniversary of our radio marriage. And I said, of course, I've lost count. You're my 8th or 9th radio marriage. And so Augie is getting ready to have his second radio marriage coming up here.
Let's hopefully that we'll be able to carry forward somewhere close to what we've done. But I do think that...
I just hope it was as good for Floyd as it was good for me.
Well, that's called in-house laughing and jokes in-house.
Very quickly, I tried to make a list to figure just where you are on the list, Augie.
Oh, I'm way down.
And I'm not sure. Well, no, you're not way down. You can't be the first, but you could be the next. And you are the next, maybe the last.
Oh, there you go.
But Dave Davis, Sarasota Dave, he was the very first co-host, also the first one to put up money to continue a show after Bud Beck abruptly left the station. Jeff Collins up in Dade City, at the early part of American AM, when we were on about 3 different stations, he was the co-host up there. CJ Zaya, of course, left his mark on this station and the show at that time, and all his support and friendship. Alan Cross, I'm afraid Alan is still the longest radio marriage I've had, Augie.
Oh.
He was about 3 years. And then Robin Davis and Saber Davis, after News Talk 820, they were here. Robin Davis went on and did a show of her own for about a year. A woman named Joan, who I forget her last name, but she came in with Alan and I for a while, and she did add a lot to the show. And what would it be complete without mentioning Big Ed Edwards?
His voice is still leading.
Yes, he will always permeate the walls and the station and the carpet and the
it radiates through your senses. But anyway. So those are you're going through the list in terms of.
Well, those were the co-hosts.
Okay.
So 1, 2, 3, 6, 7. You know, so you're about number 8, Augie, unless I forgot somebody that would push you back to number 9.
Oh. Okay.
But
as to length of time or as to.
No, it's an order. An order of chronological order.
An order of accession. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The ultimate, really, I guess perhaps you could even take that title upon it.
Well, I did come in alone at first for about a week or so, and Val ran the board for me at that time.
Of course, you are the host. I'm the co-host in this situation, but as far as radio marriages go.
I know.
Also, it's 12 years being around the radio, people pass, and Pat Geyer was such a big... of Duffy's Taff and Pat and Ed Geyer and her daughters Peggy Polly Pam Patty Penny.
And they sponsored the show.
Oh, for endlessly, and right up almost to the very end. Pat Geyer, big time Democrat supporter here in Manatee County, and the Lawton Childs used to love Duffy's Tavern, too. Mm-hmm. Dulcie Cushmore of Canada Med Service was years and years of sponsorship. Bill Hauser and his wife Mary over at Manatee Lawnmower. And then, taking this full circle, is the people that, as you did, as I did, as Rick on the Radio did, who became, started as callers, and that over a decade of talk radio here, got their own show. We, of course, who could forget Mitch Mallett?
Oh, Oh, there you go.
And he was one of the first to follow the American AM show. Floyd and Julie Winters did a wonderful show for a long time here. Some personalities that were here, Steve the Lizard. You probably don't remember too much of him. Mike the Walrus. And Wolfman. We had a menagerie here in the early days of 2000.
Well, then, and then you interviewed the man who treats you, the chiropractor for animals, so that kind of...
Well, yes, we should have kept him up in the sponsor category. Dr. D'Amato talks to the animals.
Right.
And then on the conservative side, we had Craig Batchelor came in to do a show here, mm-hmm. and Matt Bruce, the captain, who has gone on to...
And he's doing rather well.
Yes, he was in national syndication. Now he's on network national syndication with Salem Broadcasting, along with, I think he's the lead-in to Bill Bennett, if Bill Bennett still is the morning on Salem Broadcasting. Mm-hmm. But I have to thank him. He brought me to a national audience. And finally, just callers in general, and we'll wrap this up, and thanks to Augie for his indulgence on this and so much. The late Jim and Bradenton and his daughter Terry, who we must start with them and the contributions he made. LC and Danny, starting in the Bud Beck show, Danny the Black Cloud, and what they did with the Southwest Florida Coalition of Peace and Justice, all those crosses that were put on the Manatee Riverfront in 2004, the one-year anniversary of the war, that was hours and hours and hours of their work. And in the current period, but spanning those 12 years, Ken... What would the show be without Ken's calls?
Ken's voice is always welcome and needed, actually.
And
by the way, on this point, it is 941-745-1490, and if you have any good or bad wishes for Henry, we want to hear both.
And we're still recording, so third time's a charm here. And Wade Sears?
Wade is in a poor location to pick up the show, and he has to go to his automobile to get the reception. But
Wade, you can go back into the apartment. It's 1490wwpr.com. You can do it that way. But Wade, what are all the contributions and help and friendship he's given myself in the show and Augie? Some people might remember George. Do you remember him with a very thick Latin accent? Sometimes people called him Jorge. He got a lot of people fired up with his very strident commentary against the military. People think he may have been disappeared. Not here in the U.S., but then he went back to Latin America.
I don't know. Possible.
There was these names. You're going to have to have been listening 7 or 8 years ago. But Fish was a regular caller. Paco was a regular caller. And then back to the present, we have Lawrence. I know he's been listening to hear his name.
I found out his name just the other day, his last name, but I won't put it on the air.
Yeah, the good Lawrence. Mm-hmm. We have Mike in Bradenton, John in Sarasota, Dennis has called in. Visigoth is a name from the
Steve
Eastern Pan.
Clearwater, I think, is the name.
Steve, thank you very much, Steve in Clearwater. Mary, who we don't hear anymore, or Good Mary, who we don't hear anymore, too, but they're probably out there somewhere, too. Actually, Good Mary did call one time, but she has a different work schedule, too.
Yeah, who's the guy that the other conservative that gave us a hard time, or did you...
Oh, Pete!
Pete, yeah.
The talk radio terrorist. We held the tribunal for him in around 2004 or 5. Jim Delgado defended him unsuccessfully. Probably, I think, the only case that Jim Delgado has ever lost. What moments?
He's got a full-time job, and he doesn't have time to call in, but he has called in once or twice. But
I'm sure we'll think of somebody else, and 941-745-1490 if you can think of who we forgot.
Yeah, what did we forget and who do we forget?
Thanks for all the indulgence on that.
And is the price of gas continuing to go down, and who owns us? Who will rule the oil market? And that's probably the ultimate thing. But the other thing that's happening along this line is what's going to happen with Netanyahu and Boehner, and there's been talk that he's been uninvited and may not show up, and now that it's been stated, he will be there to talk in March.
I don't know how he couldn't come at this point in time.
He's really got his neck on a block, I would think, and with the election in March as well, he's got himself up against it, and he's made a lot of new enemies and maybe reinforced some old friends. But Mr. Netanyahu has kind of stepped in it, and Mr. Boehner may well have stepped in it with him down the pipe as to affecting what's really going on. Did you see the thing, Henry, with McCain? There was an uproar in one of the hearings.
Oh, well, we can get that for you. Just go ahead and set a little background. This is some pretty incredible audio here, but I have to pull it up.
John McCain was in a hearing, and I just caught the tail end. I don't even know what the hearing would...
Well, it was actually Henry Kissinger was entering the room. And the Code Pink ladies and a few men were placed in the visitor section, the audience. It's not the audience when you're in a
spectators.
Hearing. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I knew you'd come up here. So here he is entering the room and he was walking slowly. It's amazing he's still alive, really.
He just does not go away.
And all of a sudden, the pink shirts come out. So they're going on arrest Henry Kissinger for war crimes. They're holding up posters, Kissinger war criminal. They've got red hands for blood on the hands. Okay, so that John McCain wants them out, and then when they finally get cleared out, John McCain has his piece. You need about a few more seconds of this. And George Shultz, his pig, shut up, sit down. I didn't know he was alive still either.
They just don't go away.
Madeleine Albright is over on the far end of the dais, like, I'm so glad I'm not one of them. And here we go.
I'd like to say to my colleagues and to our distinguished witnesses this morning that I've been a member of this committee for many years. And I have never seen anything disgraceful and outrageous.
Pardon me?
What is this committee?
It's the Senate Armed Services Committee. Okay. And they were getting former secretaries of state to...
opinionate.
Yeah, you know, explain to them all the things that they must have done right that were in such a good shape now from their secretary of stateships. Here you go.
I've been a member of this committee for many years. And I have never seen anything as disgraceful and outrageous and despicable as the last demonstration.
Freedom of expression, John.
About, you know, you're going to have to shut up or I'm going to have you arrested.
First Amendment, John.
If we can't get the Capitol Hill police in here immediately.
He's got his big line coming.
Yeah, here comes the big one.
Get out of here, you low-life scum.
Get out of here, you low-life scum. You American citizens with the freedom of speech and the First Amendment. And people are applauding his statement. Wow.
So, Henry, I hope you will.
Forgive.
Dr. Kissinger, I hope.
Isn't he under indictment
in
The Hague?
Committee on both sides.
Well, that's why they said arrest him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And he goes on to give a heartfelt apology.
This is the guy that helped create OPEC, for crying out loud, that ran your bill through the roof for years and years, and or helped do it to sell arms. I mean, this is what you've got in a Dr. Strangelove by any other design, Henry, I would say, wouldn't you?
Well, actually, at the very beginning of this, if I can catch the very beginning, you'll hear them, the protesters, recite all the things he's responsible for. Let's see if we can get to a bit of that. They'll say, in the name of the people. And that'll be the cue to when they start. It's going to get drowned out by all the chanting. But in the name of the people of East Timor and people of Vietnam, you know, people here and there and everywhere. So.
Yeah, well, Mr. Kissinger has been a real friend of this country when he wasn't a friend of Saudi Arabia, when he wasn't a friend of those people who persecute people, and the most ardent war hawk, probably, in the nicest way.
Well, speaking of Saudi Arabia, on Monday we'll be replaying Harley Schlanger's show from just about a week ago, where he, but it was prior to the death of King Abdullah. I believe it was prior to the death.
Yes, it was.
And he made some predictions about the fate of things. And already the Prince King Salman is making big changes in the royal family. Yes.
And I was going to ask if you could continue providing something of that for us. That would be very helpful. You've been doing that all along. And this is an insight. Henry's prowess of pulling up the Internet for various things in such fashion is pretty hard to match. So I'm grateful for anything he does for us.
Well, I'll help as I can. But like I said, Floyd Winters has a pretty hefty prowess he carries around with him.
We'll see what we can do.
In fact, I would expect that Floyd might take you places you've never been before.
Well, I think he's been in some places I've never been before.
You need to realize that although Jim Delgado is a key sponsor and there's been other sponsors periodically, Augie's been financing this out of his pocket. And the reason you have a show that can bring people like school board member Mary Cantrell, Commissioner Carol Whitmore, and people like Dave Miner to hear them actually talk in depth is because Augie keeps this show on the air. So I would hope that one of Floyd's first help outs to the show here is to set up a PayPal account where people can contribute the show.
I'll be forever grateful for that. But anytime the door is open and you're able to come to it and come through it, that's what we want, Henry, I think. I'm forever in your debt for what you have done for me when I was young.
I'm looking forward to listening to you and Floyd on my way to work Monday through Friday.
Well, there you go. But we will have a good conversation. And right now, who will rule the oil market? And it does go back to that matter of what Netanyahu and Mr. Boehner have done by creating a spoiled situation. It splashes over into the sanctions on Iran, and Iran and Russia are really up against the wall financially, and the sanctions on Iran are part of what they want to add more sanctions. The Congress they're talking about, I'm not sure they're going to do it, and they've been warned it'll cause no good result. But the dropping of the price of oil, if you've heard us say this before, down as low as $10 a barrel, which can happen with Saudi's control and their amount of money that they have in hand, will destroy what's left of Russia's economy and will heavily damage Tehran and Iran. So some people will applaud that idea. But we have got to come up with a way to help control the Middle East, and Iran, I think, is the best bet to make that happen. And at the same time, Russia is making some moves and has been called out by our, that says, Tsar Putin's next moves. Let's see here. Last March, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was quoted as saying, "The Russian President Vladimir Putin's attack on Ukraine, supposedly in defense of Russian speakers there, was just like what Hitler did back in the 30s, using the ethnic Germans as a justification for his invasion into the neighbor land." It was called Lebensraum, a living space, and it was all about gathering up Germanic people from everywhere and putting them under the umbrella of the Nazi swastika. But I endorse Ms. Clinton's comparison purely for the shock value. It draws attention to the awful things Putin is doing to Ukraine, and not to mention his own country, whose credit rating has just been reduced to junk. Putin's use of the Russian troops wearing uniforms without insignia and so forth, it just goes on and on and on. This is by Thomas Friedman. Really Russia is intent on creating a war situation to save themselves and to put a wall between any help of the Crimea bridge, preventing that, and making it so that the Russian people will be distracted from the 50% drop in the value of their currency, the ruble. Henry, what were your thoughts on this?
I think Tom Friedman is blatantly wrong, as he has been all through the Iraq War and so many other places.
Where is he blatantly wrong?
Well, he seems to forget a year ago in February, when Russia had helped negotiate a transition of power for the government that was in Ukraine, that was that they favored, and there were supposed to be elections in May, which would have seen a changing of the guard.
So Hillary's wrong as well.
Yes. And I mean, it's just the history. Mm-hmm. You know, there was, right after the deal was announced, our allies in there pushed forward with a coup and forced the president out. They could not wait the 3 months. They had him on the ropes, and they decided to go ahead, and instead of having a democratic election with the opposition involved too, they enforced a coup. Yushchenko, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yushchenko.
Fled. And we had these people that have business ties with two people like Joe Biden's son, who is on the board of directors of one of the big energy companies now on the new Ukrainian ruler's side, who is partners with John Kerry's son in an investment firm that will be doing things like that.
You just really put the nail in the coffin on your points very effectively, but Hillary now is out there talking and comparing Putin's with Hitler.
Well, of course they are. That's what they do. They compared Saddam to Hitler. We were better off with Saddam in Iraq. I mean, who now really thinks we weren't better off with Saddam in Iraq than what's there now?
Well, think of all the money we could have created by having a war. I mean, and now we can flip a switch and move to another war.
Well, and so all this that he is talking about, how Russia put these people on the ground, Russia did this. Well, at the same time, though, he's talking about this back in February and March and April, there were reports of the Polish mercenaries that were coming in on the Ukrainian side. We've played you things from Rupert Murdoch's Sky News saying, hey, wow, these people that they said were the right-wing Nazi-like militias, well, we're right-wing Nazi-like militias. And now we have, oh my goodness, all the money that Putin has flowing into Ukraine, the U.S. government has just given $2 billion in guarantees.
I saw that. I saw that.
So, you know, when the first President Bush and Secretary of State James Baker on the collapse of the Soviet Union came to see Gorbachev, they gave him assurances we wouldn't push NATO so to the edge. There really is an attempt by some factions in the world, some people of power and influence, to break up Russia.
Oh, so the squeeze is on, and Russia becomes Russia is being broken up from inside. Their currency, as I said before, is going through the toilet, and their population is also doing that. And they're predicting, and so some say that by doing what he's doing, Putin going into these other countries and threatening everybody in the vicinity. Which
what
is,
other countries?
Well, anybody on the border, you name it. So
Ukraine.
Ukraine, the breadbasket of Russia, but
he didn't go in there. There was a civil war, and both the patrons of both sides put money, material,
well,
and people.
I'm not
there.
Taking Friedman's side. I'm simply saying that they're calling everybody that's standing up against Russia in this thing as Nazis.
So and South Ossetia and Georgia, mm-hmm. People will throw that out, but it was really the color revolution president that we backed that invaded South Ossetia with Georgian troops, and Russia came in and defended them. So,
well, I'm getting to is that these countries, if Russia wins this argument on the ground with troops and so forth, two things happen. One, they gain more population, taxes, and two, they distract the people from the economic mess. I mean, and the NATO is not innocent in this, is what you're saying. And the NATO is the culprit.
Yes, the neocons that wanted to push NATO right up to the border, that wanted to put the air defense systems in Poland. You put air defense systems in Poland to protect Europe from Iran. Can you look at a map and see which direction that would mean the missiles were going? No, it's so that to create... create the ability to have a first strike on Russia to take out their nuclear weapons. with nuclear weapons.
That's right.
And the madness of that is there. And the Russians truly believe at this point in time, and why would they doubt it, that they're at least a major part of the American empire is trying to crush them.
Yeah, and of course we just saw the little mini riot at the hearing in the Arms Committee there with Mr. McCain yelling about Mr. Kissinger. I'm sure Mr. Kissinger's advice is NATO go ahead and to see what Russia will do, because then what happens if the war drums start beating more loudly? I mean, this is a real contest for war. I mean, whichever side you take, defending Russia, the West is going to say, no, we don't agree with that, and we're going to push ahead anyway. We're going to support the trouble that can be created in all of this, and $2 billion is just a beginning point.
People have to realize you can hold two thoughts that on the surface seem conflicting, mm-hmm. but they're really not, and that's the fact that the American interest can be trying to break up Russia and be meddling in places and causing problems, and at the same time you can need to be aware that there are people that would like to break up America's influence too and do damage to American interests.
Now,
and you'd be smart.
Yeah, but so who would most likely benefit from the oil or the drop in oil prices?
Actually, at this point in time, I don't think anybody's going to benefit. Yeah. It's gone too far. We've had 9,000 people laid off in North Dakota in the energy industry. They just before I came here to the show, the gross domestic product in the last quarter was a disappointing 2.6 when they expected it to be over 3.
It's going to flatten out the economy.
We have consumer spending up, but we have deflation all around the world. I believe it was either Singapore or Hong Kong. It must have been Singapore that lowered their interest rates to devalue their dollar. There's a rush to devalue currency against the U.S., so our manufacturing is going to take a hit on this.
Now, Henry, why would that be? I mean, if you're getting a devalued currency, and you're going to be able to, it's going to take more of your money to buy U.S. Oh, gosh, that's the reason.
Yeah.
How about that?
Because now that our manufacturing is coming back, up until this point, all of a sudden all this stuff is getting more expensive. Plus, by this displacement in the economies of the world, Europe hadn't come out of recession yet. China's on the border of falling back in. There isn't anybody to buy our stuff. And that extra $20 you have in your pocket from the extra gas money,
you go to other,
you're not going to float the whole global economy with that.
When you're short fall everything, and food is one of the areas that shows up quickly, but if you buy a steak these days, the price is up quite a bit. And why is that? Because there's a drought in the Southwest and the kill off of the livestock to get rid of the debt that was hanging around farmers' necks and people raising cattle. And now the advertisement for Western Sizzler or whatever is always, oh, a great pork chop steak. How about that? And a T-bone pork chop and stuff like that. And it all looks just as good.
I was shopping in the grocery store last night, the store with the beef people.
Oh, yeah.
It was $6.99 for lean ground beef.
$6.99 a pound.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure you can go down the street to Publix and get it for a couple dollars less or a dollar and a half less. But I was amazed that, you know, that the pricing like that was even put out on the shelf. But I guess the beef people know what they're doing.
Well, up until a few months ago, just the season beginning and all, I was at the local grocery store down on Siesta Key, which in the past has priced some of their products at a similar level at Publix. And I just wanted to get some fruit. So I looked at the apples and some wonderful red delicious and yellow delicious and so forth. And I saw two something. It was $2 a piece per apple. And so even though they were previously lowering their prices to compete with people going off the island to buy their products, the price was going up on the products in that little grocery store. So you know that this is affecting everything all the way down the line, and whether it's, and the meat's the same way. So this is what you all know out there. What and you buy that, you brag about the price of your gasoline, and at the same time you know that the shutdown of what is that thing called, fracking, out there in Dakotas, and the Caterpillar Tractors stock took a hit of 7% the other day when the market fell severely. Caterpillar being a big mover in the market, they were bragging that they had $7 billion in reserve at that time. So this this thing is starting to ratchet around. And do you really want to go up with your price of gasoline, or do you to bring back to some stability with the economics? Do you trust the big corporations to generously do the right thing?
Well, trusting corporations is an interesting thing. That we had a story break yesterday here locally in Bradenton. It may seem a little too local for some people listening, but it is interesting in the WWPR sense, because Terry Wunder, the Mitch Mallett's radio spouse, currently heard Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on WWPR, is an activist, environmental activist, that was leading a protest and investigation, or a call for an investigation, into a cutting of mangroves.
Mangrove murder.
On Palmasola Bay. And this may seem like a big deal. I mean, it may not seem like a big deal, but it is a big deal when you look at the numbers that the Department of Environmental Protection, of course, the local county government was not particularly worried about this. There was a permit given to the developer on Palmasola Boulevard. Prospect Bradenton Investments was given a permit to trim 7.6% of the coastline mangrove forest for a walkway and overlook, things like that.
That's a federal violation too, isn't it?
Well, no, the Department of Florida Department of Environmental Protection is who oversees these things.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, turns out that what they cut, not 7.26%, but 35%.
And they said it was, what did they refer to it as, people who were gangsters or something?
Well, trespassers. They said they didn't cut that. Their people are certified, and they only did it according to the permit. It was trespassers that went in and cut the other 28% of the mangroves on the coastline.
They need a firewood, Henry, don't you?
Can you not drive these days and not see somebody trying to sell you mangrove wood on the side of the road?
Yeah, and it's special dye and spray and so forth.
But so now the DEP
flame up blue and red and just like the,
yes, and there were multiple occasions and killing of mangroves, and so now the state, the Department of Environmental Protection, is in there, so we can count on them to do a good job until Prospect Investments of Bradenton calls up Rick Scott.
And we know what Rick Scott
but,
will
but
do.
But big props to Terry Wunder here. And she was brought on by Rick on the radio originally. Of course, she's been on this show, but Rick, the first time she was on the radio was Rick on the radio. So the change just continues here at WWPR, bringing people on to have their voice heard.
Well, I talked to her yesterday, and she's indicated she's kind of interested in coming in and as kind of a guest visitor to the show down the road, interested in promoting her ideas about what's happening out in the Middle East, which is her expertise, which is quite a deep. She has a doctorate in Middle East studies, and she worked over there for about a year and knows what's really going on, or so she says. But we've heard her, and she found her pretty convincing. But we're coming to the end of the show, and at a nostalgic moment. But Henry, it's going to be hard to look for. Look, as I drive north to come up here, it's going to be.
It's going to be a great show coming up. Best of the Morning Edge on Monday, and then Floyd Winters comes to co-host with Augie, and it's going to have a whole fresh voice and new perspectives.
Well, I've done a show with Floyd in the past, and it is kind of it's going to be a bit of a challenge, and that's what we need.